Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast.
Wouldn't worry if heads or tails, the sides were all strapped to the spinning wheel. There's a blindfolded man and a tux throwing knives. There's no why. There's no why.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Kevin Devine moves easily between the worlds of indie rock and indie folk. In fact, a couple of years ago, he put out two records at once, one showing off his more folk-oriented songs, and the other full of raucous Amps to 11 tunes. Both, by the way, were the result of a Kickstarter campaign that took less than one day to reach its goal. Kevin's latest album is a compelling and startlingly topical record called Instigator. He's here today, solo, to play some songs from it. Beginning with No History, here's Kevin Devine live on Soundcheck.
The future was a plane through a skylight over Tribeca at 8:45. My brother at a conference room table watched the future rearrange all our lives. I was sleeping in a bed for the future. First and 25 miles away, a roommate knocked, he was a relative stranger. Kev, I need you to come out here, okay, okay. The future was me drunk at my desk job. Update the database, reflect the deceased. Canta Fitzgerald as a digital graveyard. Next to each name I typed a lowercase d. I was frightened by the face of the future. It had the teeth of perpetual war. I called my father, he said, I know, I see it. I thought it made sense, I don't anymore. The mosque on my corner, the fire trucks everywhere, the anger, the mourners. No history, it's dead in the air. The future was an adoring football. We are supported by the will of the world. From the floor I felt everything tilting. Watched my brother hold his 10-month-old girl. 15 years later and we're still in the future. The blood and money didn't fix anything. We've grown accustomed to the depths of the danger. This is the future, severe and always happening. The mosque on my corner, the fire trucks everywhere, the anger, the mourners. No history, it's dead in the air. No history, it's dead in the air.
Kevin Devine with No History, an acoustic solo version of that song from his latest record called Instigator. Kevin, good to have you with us here on Soundcheck.
It is a pleasure to be with you, John. Thank you.
So, very different sound from what we get on the record with the goddamn band,
yeah, yeah.
Your cohorts in crime there.
Yeah.
But this probably would have been closer to how you wrote the song originally.
It's in the ballpark. I think with this song in specific, you know, you start someplace and it ends up someplace different. Musically, I kind of heard it, a pop side of a band like Nirvana. I heard a very specific kind of circularity, kind of chugging power chord thing, for especially those, I was frightened by the face of the future, that repetitive thing. I kind of do pretty extensive at-home demos before we get in the studio, and that one is pretty close to what ended up on the record structurally. Yeah. But then I feel like you kind of have to relearn how to play the songs in multiple formats, because I tour sometimes like this, and I toured much more frequently like this, and the band was exceptional. Now it's kind of flipped.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we do things like this, and I'd prefer to play something that's got a little more nuance to it than just kind of bang out power chords and shout by myself. So,
well, now you're talking about, you know, where a song starts. Did that song start for you? Did you set out to write a 9/11, a post 9/11 song?
No, I mean, I can say I never really start there. I don't really know how to do that. It's very rare that I sit down and say, I'm going to write a song about Freddie Gray or love or some memory of drinking in Bay Ridge when I was 23 years old. It just sort of is whatever shows up first, and then I tend to follow it. Mm. That's not to say there's not, you know, pursuit or craft involved, but it whatever shows up first, the germ, I almost never know what that's going to be. With this song, without getting lost in it too much, I was driving home from bringing my wife to the doctor early in the morning last summer. We were going in at like 6 a.m. We would do this thing, then she would go to work. And I was driving home to Brooklyn on the West Side Highway, and it was perfect blue sky, uninterrupted by clouds, and kind of picked my head up not too far from where we are now and looked, and the Freedom Tower's there, and I looked at the clock and it was 8:15 or something, and right. I was like, oh. And I used to work on Harrison Street. My brother worked there longer. I worked in his office, and that first line, I think I was looking, I saw the building, and I saw we were at maybe Chambers, and I remember that's his story. You know, my older brother was in early that day setting up stuff for a meeting, and looked up through, they had this wheel kind of skylight, almost mm-hmm. on a ship, a steering wheel kind of thing.
This wasn't the old Mercantile building by any
I'm
chance.
I'm not sure. It was on Harrison. I think it was 6 Harrison
that's,
Street.
That's the old Mercantile building, that's, yeah. 6 Harrison Street.
So he was up on the 6th floor
yeah, yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And he looked up and the saw what happened.
The composer Lamont Young lived in that building for many
oh,
years
really?
In the 80s. And it was all wired for sound and light. And when you walked from one room to the other, you literally walked from one chord
oh
to another
God.
Chord.
That's
it was
cool.
a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah.
So I know that building too.
That
yeah.
was a very different experience than what was going on at the financial services firm or whatever my brother
sure.
was at. That's where it kind of started.
Yeah.
And by the time I got home, got to work, and the song was kind of there by 1 o'clock. Because once you start with something like that, I'm a New Yorker. I've lived here my whole life. Life is very much in a lot of ways like before and after that day.
Yes. Yep.
It's not hard to access the memories and the feelings, actually. I feel like the song was also kind of about what happened then and how it ties to what's happening now. And it's definitely gotten weirder since it was written.
Well, that was going to be my next question to you is, you know, all of this record, I mean, especially the title track, Instigator, seems like it might mean something very different now than it would have meant even 1 month ago. The idea
yeah.
of the instigator with the Molotov cocktail in his hand
yep.
as an image for the guy who's going to come in and drain the swamp or maybe set fire to the swamp or whatever.
Right, or the people that are going to maybe that's true and also or maybe also hopefully a kind of totem for the people that are going to push back at that
right.
drainage and other such unfortunate linguistic tricks. But, you know, I'm in the middle of a tour now. I have an 8-month-old daughter, so touring looks a little different. I took a break to come home for the holiday and spend about a week and a half home. But we've been on tour with some really great bands, Julian Baker, Pine Grove, Petal, all excellent young songwriters. And that's the thing, if you don't die or quit, you all of a sudden are the oldest person on a tour, and which is cool. We were all together in Houston the day of the election, and I had kind of prepared a whole different line of discussion for the remainder of this tour around like, well, now we can breathe some kind of sigh of relief, but let's get in line and start trying to pull this administration to the left. You know, there was I don't think any of us had prepared the stage banter or how the actual tour itself was going to look in terms of communicating with the audience and with each other in the event that Trump won. It was pretty shocking, as it was for a lot of people, but
yeah.
the energy in that room that night, I've been a sober person for a while, but it was the weirdest non-drug-induced experience I'd had in my life. Like people, you just felt it over the course of the night, things shift. And the songs in real time that night started to feel different. No History, Freddie Gray Blues, Instigator, even all songs like that aren't expressly social justice oriented, I was alive back then. Songs that feel about that are about community.
Mm-hmm.
The community kind of felt like its definition was shifting that night.
Well, and that's something else I wanted to ask you about, which I'll save for
I'm
later.
Sorry to try to jump all over.
Yeah, no. Because community is a big thing in sort of your work and the way you make music and stuff. But you've mentioned Freddie Gray Blues, and that had to have been. I mean, that can't have been something that happened by accident. I mean, that sounds like something you sat down to write. Like, well, I need to say something about this.
Yeah, the act of following it through was very intentional. Whether or not anyone was ever going to hear it was something else, because I think as a straight, white, lower to middle class man, I have a lot of listening to do at this moment in history. Mm. The only way that song to me deserved to be shared was if it was executed in such a way that there was some skin in the game personally. And for me, I felt like the uniqueness, maybe what was unique about my experience is that I am somebody who comes from a lineage of police. My dad was NYPD, my grandfather, my uncles, my cousins.
So that line in the song is true.
True, and obviously pretty anti-poetic. It's very much a laundry list of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad was a cop. My grandfather was a cop.
Yeah, my uncles, my cousins, partly here because of them in a very literal way, you know.
See, my dad was a cop, and his dad was a cop. My uncles are cops, and my cousins are cops. I'm partly here because of cops, and I love all those cops. I know not every cop's a racist murdering cop, but this is bigger than the people I love. The system's broken, not breaking.
Definitely what was cool about growing up in that environment too, though, was that, you know, when I went to college and I paid down those debts when I went to, when I finished and said, I think I want to pursue music for real. It was like, you can do what you want, but we're not going to pay for it. You know, so ethic was there. But to me, that being somebody who grew up in that environment and then got interested in punk music, hardcore, alternative culture, whatever you want to call it, being 12 and seeing being a Nirvana, being at the perfect age for Nevermind to be that thing that like cracked my head open.
Mm-hmm.
And watching him play, and he had a bumper sticker on his guitar, and it said, "Vandalism as beautiful as a rock in a cop's face." I remember being like, why does this guy that I think is so cool want to throw a rock in my dad's face? And it was the first strain of like questioning those power relationships, meeting hardcore kids that were into like Malcolm X and Karl Marx and veganism and Black Pantherism and straight edge, and being like, they really don't like cops or military power and American empire and et cetera, et cetera. Those are things that are really powerful to find out about when you're living in a household. I mean, I knew all those people as people.
Right.
I didn't know them as cops, you know.
Well, and that's, you know, you don't have to go down that hallway, but to see that door opened for you.
Yep.
Is often enough.
Yep.
You know?
And to me, it felt like to write that song. I went to a few rallies or marches, I guess, around the Eric Garner and Freddie Gray and Ferguson and street action and whatever. And that's where the song came from. But it was definitely a moment of, is anyone ever going to hear this?
Well, and now it's on the record, called Instigator, the latest from Kevin Devine, who's here solo with us in the Soundcheck studio, although he'll be here in town at Irving Plaza.
That's right.
December 8th with the band, Band.
Yep.
You mentioned before not all of the songs on the new record are about, you know, social justice or violence or whatever, although, you know, we do get, like, views from sort of both ends of the violence.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. Yes.
But... is Day Drunk one of those songs where you probably aren't going to find a whole lot of social justice in these?
I guess it depends how you define some of those words. Violence. There's definitely some violence, self-directed in there.
Yeah.
But it's not an expressly social justice song. No, I guess for lack of a less pat way of saying it, all these songs are always about people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some non-zero percentage of all of them has some of that in there, because being a person is being acquainted with culture and society and social justice and whatever. But this is a song that's pretty specific, pretty like snapshot of a moment in a person's life that was pretty fearful and narrow. And the days where fearful and narrow sounds more attractive than the unknown of a potentially better thing.
Right. So this is
cashing in your chips.
This is that person's pre-sober period.
This is that person's, it's digging around in that pre-sober period to connect to why, in a sober period, you might want to go back to that pre-sober period.
All right. Let's hear the song.
Sure.
Day Drunk is the name of it. Kevin Devine performing live on Soundcheck.
Day drunk is what I want to be when I'm tired of being seen. Day drunk
to show up unresponsible. I want to blow it out. Day drunk is what I used to be. No Jimmy Buffett songs, no island imagery. It's old men, dying retirees. Bellies on the bar, elbows up with me. I was 25. I was terrified. Locking stalls, cleaning lines off the toilet seat. Afraid of running out. You are the drill, you are the test. The big inviting nothingness. The parachute, the great escape. From comatose to wide awake. You are the drill, you are the test. The big inviting nothingness. The parachute, the great escape. From some place to any place.
Kevin Devine with a version of Day Drunk, a song from his latest record called Instigator. I alluded before in the opening to your twin records, Bulldozer and Bubblegum,
yep.
The one folk and the other more rock. And that song is on the album, it's a bubblegum. You know, it's a rocker.
Sure.
Here, it's more of a bulldozer, kind of finger-picking folk style thing. You mentioned, you know, the experience of hardcore and Nirvana and all that kind of stuff at an early age. When did the folk thing happen?
Well, my mom was Buffy St. Marie, Dylan, Phil Oakes, Paul Simon.
Okay.
My mom was big into all that. She didn't play, but she is maybe the biggest music fan in my life, you know, continues to be. Goes to see shows all the time and like Jackson Browne. And so it was always around.
Yeah.
Joni Mitchell, Michael from Mountains, Joni Mitchell song. I remember being a kid and like learning all the words to that song. And even as I liked Nirvana and hardcore and even earlier as a kid, like getting into stupid stuff, Guns N' Roses and stuff like that, I liked Patience a lot. I liked like Nirvana Unplugged a lot. I liked REM a lot and songs like Country Feedback that were kind of acoustic guitar oriented. And even in early bands playing at those hardcore shows, I always had like a song that would just be that. But that was still kind of like my mom's music, the 60s and 70s stuff. Then you get into a certain age and you reclaim Dylan and Neil Young and Leonard Cohen. And I got really into Sinead O'Connor for a while. That's a color she paints in a lot. And then Elliott Smith.
Yeah.
Elliot was kind of like the bridge between the two worlds in a lot of ways. So much similar emotionalism to a lot of those bands I was into as a high school kid, but so much more sophisticated musically and in its presentation. And I saw him play solo at Tramps on Either Or when I was 17.
Wow.
When he was in the peak of his powers, I feel like he was pretty untouchable. I vividly remember like something in my head was like, I could watch this guy play for the next 10 hours and not move. And I went to see him play 12 times in New York in that time frame when I was a college student. His records from Either Or Forward always had pretty robust instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you sat down and watched that guy play a song in a chair when he was together enough to do it, I loved the execution on those albums and the musicality, but I was there just for that. The challenge is to try to make my songs stand one way and the other, depending on who's around and what clothes they want to wear that day.
Right. So sometimes with the goddamn band, and sometimes just sitting in a room with some radio folks.
John Schaefer.
listening in.
That's right.
I did want to come back to the idea of community, though, because you have done, over the years, these kind of split vinyl things.
Yeah, yeah.
With Matthew Cause from Not a Surf, yeah. And Meredith Graves. From Perfect Pussy.
Yep.
And
we did
Cymbals
that.
Eat Guitars. I mean, Manchester Orchestra, bands that have been trooping in here over the years.
Yep, yep. Yeah, so we did, I mean, I feel like that's been a long-standing, with bands like Manchester and a band called Brand New. Mm-hmm. Those are bands I've toured with, I mean, literally all over the world, Australia, Europe, UK, America, multiple times. They just kind of found some family in one another. And even though some of our songs are executed pretty differently, there was something at the middle of them that felt like it made sense mm-hmm. together. And those are decade-long relationships at this point. I have a band with Manchester Orchestra called Bad Books. Jesse from Brand New produced Bubblegum. Brand New's label is what Instigator's out on. It's a very familial collective thing. But the split series was like, I'd finished Bubblegum and Bulldozer. I'd toured them a lot and wanted to figure out a way to kind of have something come out in 2015, but that wasn't a traditional go in and make a record.
Mm-hmm.
I've done tours with people like Matthew and Not a Surf. I've played with pretty hard, like, kind of punk rock bands. I've also played with, like, Ockerville, and then people like Katie Tunstall. Like, there's a lot of different hats I've been able to wear. And I kind of thought, well, maybe that would be a cool thing to explore in a series if I'm the one constant. But, I mean, you know, mm-hmm. some of the – Matthew's pretty far from Meredith in a lot of respects, execution-wise.
Yeah.
Yep. Tiger's Jaw is maybe pretty far from Mike Kinsella from American Football or something like that. So that was the notion. The fact that they all said yes, Matthew was the guinea pig, and he didn't know this till afterwards, but I was at coffee with him in London on tour, and I floated it at him, and he was like, yeah, let's go, sure. And if he had said no, the whole thing might have collapsed. But we put it together, and this series came out on Bad Timing Records throughout 2015. The coolest thing was that would have been enough. And then we did these three shows last December. We did the Bell House, we did TLA in Philadelphia, and the Sinclair in Boston, and all those people came.
Hmm.
And it was kind of like summer camp for aging indie rockers for 3 days, or middle-aged indie rockers on their way to middle-aged. But with, like, the goddamn band was the house band I was in. I did that, and we played Matthew songs, we played Meredith songs, we backed Tiger's Jaw, We had, like, Jesse from Brand New at one, Brian from the Front Bottoms at one, Laura Stevenson at one, people who weren't even involved with the series as, like, special guests. And it's like this 3-hour variety show. We did this food drive thing. It was, and all of them said yes to that within 20 minutes of the first email, which was kind of like, these are all touring musicians. What the hell are they doing? But
they
got it. And it was a pretty special weekend to kind of button that series. So,
well, and, you know, that kind of community, I mean, that's to people who were kind of like afraid of things like the hardcore or metal or other kind of extreme music communities. When you're in them, it's a community.
It is.
That for me was, I had a similar experience to you, was at 14, discovering punk.
Sure.
Of course, in my day, it was the first flowering of punk,
actual,
but it was an actual community.
Yeah, it was. A community of semi or full-on outcast people. And that's the thing. I mean, Meredith is sings in a hardcore band, and, you know, Mike as Owen, Mike Kinsella, is kind of a folk singer.
Mm-hmm.
But they both spend time at the same shows. You can see it the minute you watch them play. There's the one common thread with all those people. They all write songs, very particular iteration of that word. And there's a lot of intention in how they do what they do.
Right.
And that was a cool binding thread there. So, yeah.
Well, you write songs as well. I mean, you know, it's not just like, hey, let me do something that rhymes and it's an ABA. I mean, there seems to be an intention behind.
Sometimes maybe too much. Yes.
But a song like I Was Alive Back Then, which is acoustic on the record, so what you're going to do is not so different. This is the song of a native New Yorker, it seems to me. The song of a lifelong Mets fan, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, it's
I can forgive that because I like the album.
Yeah.
You know? And as a lifelong Yankee fan, I can look past.
You don't have
certain
to worry about the Mets. We'll always be so far in your rearview mirror. You don't have to worry about it. It to me, it was kind of a song that was trying to get my arms around, you know, all these different pieces of yourself, all these different experiences, all these different. Yeah, there's all these people that are you that show up at the party every day.
And in this song, we're going back in time, right? You're 23 in this
one. I'm all over the place. I'm 23, 20, 8.
Okay.
35.
Because you were 25 in the last song.
Yeah, so. I move around. Yeah.
All right, you want to play it for us?
I would love to.
All right. Kevin Devine's playing for us here in the Soundcheck studio today, solo. Remember, December 8th, he is at Irving Plaza with the goddamn band. And here's a solo version of I Was Alive Back Then.
All my lives are coming through, and even though there isn't room, I save seats for myself. Invite them in, wish them well. The way I feel and the way I guess I felt. I was 23 and crazy, frightened, overwhelmed, and angry. You said that's not how I see you. You treat yourself unfairly. Don't treat yourself unfairly. I was alive back then. I was alive back then. I was alive back then. I remember when it was Christmas. We were wrestlers, Bay Ridge Parkway, our apartment. We were fast and best friends. We were just little kids. You were Lenny Dykstra and I was Wally Backman. This was before I got so lonely. With my lovers, with my family. Scared of living, scared of dying, scared of being happy. I couldn't let myself be happy. But I was alive back then. I was alive back then. I was alive. I remember when I was 20. Kolinkowski asked me who I thought I'd marry. I answered your name. Years before we would date. Years before he'd officiate our wedding. You never know, you're never ready. But all you fear is just confetti. Let it blow all around your bedroom when it gets too heavy. Let it get too heavy. I was alive back then. I was alive back then. I was alive back then. Nobody asks you if you're ready when they're handing you the baby. Mother said, son, you can't imagine. You'll have your mind blown, honey. You'll be crazy in love, honey. And I was alive back then. I was alive back then. I was alive. Number one.
alive back then. Now I am again.
Kevin Devine, solo here on Soundcheck. I Was Alive Back Then is a song from the album Instigator. We've been talking, Kevin, about how the songs need to exist in a couple of ways. You know, we have the band or doing it solo. If you're doing that song with the goddamn band on stage, are they all laying back for that one?
Yeah, or so when I guess
you don't have a thrashing power chord version of that song.
I guess when I said that, I kind of lied. I mean it more. I feel like if they're going to work with the band, they have to also work this way.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Ones like that, that's when you tell the guys to take a break for a
right,
minute.
Right.
The guys and girls. And generally, there's space built into the show for all that.
Right. So shout out to some Mets of old, Lenny Dykstra, Wally Backman from the Miracle Mets of 86. Your old band was called
Miracle of 86.
Miracle of 86.
Sad life of a Knicks and Mets fan. A lot of suffering.
The Mets have just re-signed Cespedes, I'm told.
Like right now?
Just while you were singing that song.
Bringing good luck. You just got to evoke some of the names, and here it goes. Oh, that's a good thing. That's a real good thing.
Yeah. So, congratulations.
I had a lot to do with it. Thank you.
The universe heard your implicit plea in that song. And
if only that's how things work, man. That would be really, yeah.
So, 8-month-old, you said touring looks different. What does touring look like around the holidays? Do you get to come home?
Yep. Yep, our nice. Tour ends the 11th down in Philly, and I'm home till like the 15th of January.
Excellent.
Yep, do a few weeks in Europe and UK. It's kind of like I'm trying to take 4 to 6 week breaks between things, and also what used to be for headlining tours of the States, 6 week bricks are now like I went away for a week, flew home for a day, went away for 2 weeks, came home for 8 days, we'll do 10 more days and then come home. That it's got to be a little bit choppier.
Yeah.
I need to see them and they need to see me. So yeah.
Well, we'll see you December 8th at Irving Plaza with the band in tow.
Yep.
Instigator is the latest record from Kevin Devine. It's been great having you with us.
That's a pleasure, John. Thank you.
This is Soundcheck.
I keep it dumb, do it just like you tell me to. I draw it straight as I possibly can. I come as close to the truth as I ever do. I take some liberties, I am what I am.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other live performances, videos shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, our weekly music roundups, and more. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.